Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to CLNS Radio, your source for all things basketball.
You cannot stop this guy. This guy is unbelievable right now, and with the way he's playing, he's played an outstanding brand of basketball. You're trying to tell me he's not the next best thing? What are you hearing?
Man, all I know is this guy can ball, and if you can come out and play with him, you can play with anybody in the league.
I want your opinion. Call into the show.
Why don't you drive the rack? Seriously, why don't people drive the rack more often?
I'm fed up with this cookie-cutter brand of basketball. Now go out and hand-check.
What are you comparing? The guy's got grit. The guy's got moxie, and the guy's got heart. What more do you want?
Ambition. He did a dream, that was harder to live.
Broadcast through Blog Talk Radio and CLNS Radio.
They gonna let me for my...
Welcome on into the Hooper's Log. It is December something. December 7th. I forgot the date there. We have a 7 o'clock edition tonight. Chris, I believe, had a doctor's appointment earlier today, so we didn't have the early show. But we are here now. We got a day of basketball that I don't think you'd be too disappointed if you missed. Not a whole lot of great games. We might have the beating of the century when San Antonio takes on Philadelphia. We also have a whole weekend of basketball to recap. Some news out of the Philadelphia organization. Jerry Colangelo was named the president and chairman of basketball operations. He's also the general managing partner, special advisor, or something like that. But really what we care about is basketball operations. Today's games, we had, I believe, 9 on the docket. So there's a few to really look at. 2 of them are starting now. We got the 76ers versus Spurs and the Pistons versus the Hornets starting in about 8 minutes here. But let's get into our recap. For some reason, I can't find the Kevin Hart button, so we might have to deal without it. But into our recap, here we go. All right, on Friday, you had a few good games. Let's just go straight to the game of the night. We got a whole weekend of recap. We're not going to go over every game. So let's go straight to the game of the night Friday. Cavs versus Pelicans. This one went to OT, where it got a little bit disappointing in overtime, but the fourth quarter was something to see. You saw LeBron go for 24 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, he went off. Well, Anthony Davis did his thing. What I've spoken on a lot with Chris is, Anthony Davis has been getting those numbers, but he hasn't been closing out games. He hasn't been doing all that he needs to do to really get these victories. In this game, he changed that. He did what he had to do to get the victory in this game. When his team needed a bucket, he got the bucket. When his team needed a rebound, he got the rebound. When his team needed a block, he got the block. When his team needed a defensive presence, he was that presence. The Pelicans came away in this game 114-108 after, outscoring the Cavaliers in overtime by 6. It was really, they kind of just beat up on the Cavaliers. You saw Kevin Love make a couple of silly plays, and LeBron just looked frustrated. Not to mention, he played 45 minutes in the first night of a back-to-back, which would actually cause him to sit Saturday. Elsewhere on Friday, Knicks, who are now 10-10, surprising me. A lot of people predicted this for them. To me, it just surprised me a ton. They beat the Nets 108-91, really just took it to them. Kristaps Porzingis, was Kristaps Porzingis in this one with 19 points and 10 rebounds. This rookie looks just outstanding. Carmelo, 28 points. His normal 7 rebounds to go with it. He played a Carmelo-type game, vintage Carmelo we're all used to, just powerful in the post, jump shots going down. The Wizards and the Suns played a really good one where the Wizards, came back and they were down 7 points going in the fourth quarter. Came back, beat the Suns 106-109. John Wall had a really good game. Bradley Beal went 34 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. I am pulling up the whiteboard-worthy performers chart as we speak. Thank you, Chris, for sending that to me because I bet you're listening. Beal with the whiteboard-worthy performance, he had a total of 59. And just going back to the last game, LeBron had a Woodworthy performance with a total of 60. So that's, you know, that's getting up there. Lakers-Hawks, I mean, how bad have the Lakers looked? This looks, I mean, they lost to the 76ers. You know, after Friday, they were 3-16. That is just not good. You know, we don't really got to go into depth. We know what's been happening. Kobe's been taking a lot of shots. He's also been missing about 70% of them. He's now shooting 29% on the season. I mean, that's all-time bad. He's been, and as much as people don't want to hear it, he's been the worst player in the entire NBA. Nobody's been worse in the whole league. Bismack Biyombo has been better than him. Steve Blake, better than him. Jason Terry, better than him. But getting to a better game, you got the Rockets versus the Mavericks, where the Rockets, who look like they may be heating up a little bit. I don't want to confirm that yet because, you know, they're still under 500, but they do beat the Mavericks 196. Harden with a white boy worthy performance. He had 25 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks to get a 53 on that scale. Dirk's still looking good. He had 16 and 10. Darren Williams, he looked tremendous all year. He scored 22 in that game. The Pistons took on the Bucks, which, you know, last time the Pistons played the Bucks, they got embarrassed. They came out in this one and took the W 102-95. Andre Drummond didn't quite have a whiteboard-worthy performance. I personally think we got to change up because this guy had 17 points, 23 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks and didn't get it. So he was point guard. The assists are worth 2 points. Big men rebounds are only worth 1, so it's really hard for them to reach that 50 mark. But he, you know, another almost 20-20 game. You know, Greg Monroe played him good. He had 14 and 13, but Andre Drummond won the battle this time around, and so did the Pistons. On to Saturday. First game, you know, the Heat played the Cavs. LeBron sat out. Like I said, he played 45 minutes in the first half of back-to-back. Now, something I'm noticing with this Cavs team, when LeBron was on the Heat, he would, and he had to sit, maybe he had a sore leg or sore back, something like that, maybe just needed rest. The Heat would come to the challenge. They would want to, you know, own, say, guess what, we're still good. We're still good NBA players. These Cavs came out and they're like, well, let's just take the loss today because we don't have, you know, God in a basketball jersey on the court. And you know, that's really disappointing to see. Do I think it'd be different if Iman and Kyrie were there really pushing this team to still be very good without them? Sure I do. But even without them, these players have to play. Kevin Love, you know, has this chance to shine as the only true option on this team. He gets 5 points. Sure, he only played 22 minutes. In the first half, he had 2. And then they're like, well, why are we going to play this guy? I mean, he's been injury prone. He got outplayed by Richard Jefferson, Timofey Mozgov, Dellavedova, Sasha Kahn, Tristan Thompson, Mo Williams, Jared Cunningham, and James Jones. Every single player on this team besides Anderson Varejão, even Anderson Varejão was close, outplayed Kevin Love in this game, which is ridiculous. When, you know, if this guy's getting paid over $100 million over the next few years, he needs to play better. And the crapshoot of the night, the Nuggets took out the 76ers only by 3. You know, I do actually enjoy watching the 76ers play, even how bad it is. I like watching Jalil play. Not a fan of Jalil. I like watching him and his footwork play. I love watching Nerlens Noel play. You know, he really wants to win, unlike a lot of these guys. But I love watching the Nuggets play with Emmanuel Moody and kind of free. There's just so much energy there. And they moved to 8-13. Well, the Sixers moved to 1-20. Game of the night was Warriors versus the Raptors. Now, this is a game me and Chris both again predicted the Raptors or the Warriors were going to lose, and we were again wrong. I have to predict they're going to lose every night until they finally do, so I might be wrong for 82 games. But, you know, this game, you saw Kyle Lowry and Steph Curry really, really go at each other. 44 points for Steph Curry, 41 for Lowry. Both had 7 assists, but Lowry had 4 steals and 1 block. I mean, Lowry, the heart that Lowry shows night in and night out is insane. I mean, this guy refuses to give up. He had a 62 on the whiteboard worthy performance scale. I mean, he willed this team to get where they were. DeMar DeRozan only had 16 points on 5-19 shooting. And that's really what did them in. When your second best player that shoots almost 25% from the field, you're not going to beat the Warriors. They're too good. You know, the Raptors, surprisingly, only had 7 turnovers, which is insane against this Warriors defense, how efficient they can be. Of course, I don't think the Warriors defense has been that great this year. They've been allowing a lot of games over 100 points. There's been a lot of close games. But they're getting these teams' best shot, best focus every single night. The Hornets took out the Bulls for the second time this year. They moved to 11-8. Well, the Bulls are 11-6. You know, just a good game from Nicholas Batum. I mean, he's been playing tremendous this year. He's averaging 17 points, 4.5 assists, 6.5 blocks. This guy has really been on top of his game, and that's coming off a year where he averaged something like 9.5 points. Just Spitfire and the rest. Rockets beat the Kings 120-113. Blazers beat the Wolves 109-103. Bucks beat the Knicks 106-91. Kind of a disappointing game for the Knicks. Spurs beat the Celtics. Now, I was on the postgame show on CLNS Radio for this game, and this was one of the better games I've seen all season as far as heart goes. Again, if you want to call in and talk about it, our number is 323-642-1558. Call in, talk about any basketball. Looks like we actually do have a caller on the line, so I'll just get to you in 1 second. You know, the Celtics showed amazing heart, but of course, you know, you're in San Antonio, you're probably not going to win. They're 11-0 at home now. They won, I believe, the last 9 at home last year. The Jazz took out the Pacers in OT without Rudy Gobert, so that is impressive. And the final game of that night, the Clippers beat the Magic. All right, let's get to the phones real quick.
What's
all
up,
right.
It's Simo Buckets. Simo Buckets, baby.
Oh, what's up, Chris?
Yeah, guy. Hey, doing fantastic. You sound good. I just checked in, taking a quick break from work. Yeah, we're on episode 24 here. This is awesome. For those of you listening here on the primetime edition of the Hooper's Log, keep on enjoying it. And one thing I wanted to say, and you mentioned the Nicholas Batum and his stat line before I get to my point, is you mentioned him. This is one thing I'm starting to see, and obviously with the whole LeBron James getting his lifetime deal today, which was insane to see on my phone, and Kevin Durant getting his 10-year, $30 million a year, $300 million overall deal with Nike today, you're starting to see guys like Draymond Green and Nicholas Batum and a couple of other small forwards out there that I haven't mentioned that are really starting to play a lot like mini LeBrons. Like, they're little minions, like minion LeBron type players, like Nicholas Batum averaging, you know, 17, 6 and 4. Like, that's miniature LeBron numbers. Draymond Green getting, you know, 18 and 4 and 5. You know, you're seeing things like this, and it's really cool to see the NBA and see the small forward position kind of turn into this, I guess a point forward type position where you start to see these guys run around and really start to look a lot like LeBron. Not that they're running the show, not that Draymond Green's running the show, not that Nicholas Batum's running the show, but when it comes to their role on the team, they're really starting to look like miniature LeBrons. It's really cool. It's kind of cool to see how he's really starting to put his imprint on the NBA. One thing I wanted to say before I get out of here and let Andrew take over the rest of the show, we have our quarter poll show tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. We're going to basically break down what's gone on over the first quarter of the season. Tomorrow, it's going to be a long show, same time, same place, normal time, normal place, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Hooper's Log. But, Andrew, dude, you sound awesome. Keep it going, man. I'll listen for a little longer, and then I'm going to go back on. Anything you want to ask me over the weekend? I was in Portland. I was stuck in traffic coming back.
I just hope you and your girlfriend had fun on her birthday. I hope you watched that Raptors-Warriors game.
I did.
You know, that got pretty intense.
I watched,
you know,
the end of it.
It was a pretty good weekend of basketball as far as those the ending of games go.
I watched the very end of that game, Raptors and Warriors, and I tell you what, I every single game, and I know you're 0-22 when it comes to picking the Warriors so far, so your record is a little skewed. But when it comes to them, there was a conversation on Colin Cowherd I heard this morning about how the NBA has neglected. Well, I wouldn't say neglected, but they have allowed point guards to really run around the perimeter a lot more than they had 20 years ago, which is evident. And you see this team, and they're taking advantage of every single loophole that the defense gives them. They do. And on top of it, they play great basketball. It's not the fact that they shoot well from the outside, because that obviously helps them, and that's what's got them winning games like they've won. This team should have had 5 losses this year already, and we know that. But the way they shoot from the outside, on top of how well of basketball they actually play, it's really impressive. And this team, 22-0 now, and we're going to talk about them heavily tomorrow in our quarter poll show. That Raptor game, Kyle Lowry put it all on the floor. It was unbelievable what he did, and I was more than impressed with his output in that one. 41 points is crazy from a point guard, especially when you have a guy like DeMar DeRozan carrying the load. It was absolutely insane stuff. But yeah, we have that show tomorrow, and I watched that game. It was nuts. I definitely called into the post game show. I saw the end of that one too. I wasn't really watching basketball. I was kind of watching like the last couple of minutes. I want to ask you something though, non-basketball related, before I get back to work. Heisman Trophy, yep. Who do you got? Deshaun Watson, who's the other couple? Henry or McCaffrey, the McCaffrey son. Who do you got in the Heisman?
Now, what a lot of people don't realize about me is I hate Alabama almost as much as I hate the Yankees. And what a lot of people also don't realize about me is I was raised to basically think the Yankees are the devil.
Yeah.
That being said, unfortunately, I do have Derrick Henry as the Heisman. I hope Deshaun Watson wins it because I love his game.
Yeah.
He's the only reason why Clemson is where they are. They don't have the wide receivers they had years ago with Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins. That's not there anymore. Deshaun Watson's the leader of the show. Defense is good. Defense is really good. But compared to Deshaun Watson, you take Deshaun Watson and put an average college quarterback on the team, they maybe win 8 games. So I hope he wins it, but I think it'll be Derrick Henry.
And we'll talk about this later, obviously, because all the bowl games have come out. There's like 43 bowl games. It's crazy how many bowl games there are this year. But with the playoff games coming up, did you watch that Big Ten championship game over the weekend? What was your opinion on that? I want to get that before I get out of here.
You know, me being a Michigan fan, I actually was rooting for Michigan State in this one.
Yeah.
This team does something when you watch them play, just with their toughness and they know how good they are, even if not everybody gives them the same respect. They know. And I do really like this team. And that drive, Michigan State put together 22 plays, like 9.5 minutes. One of the best football drives I've seen in my entire life, if not the best. I mean, 22 plays? That's just grinding and grinding and grinding. And then the throw Connor Cook made on third down where, you know, I think it was 3rd and 8 and got the throw off. I forget who caught it, saved the drive. I mean, this was a game to be remembered. And I love defensive battles in college football or in football in general. And this was something that if you didn't see it, you missed out big time.
Yeah, I totally checked out the fourth quarter on that one. That game was the epitome of a Big Ten battle. And kudos to Iowa. They were a team coming in with a very, very overrated, undefeated record. But they played to the T with Michigan State. And if they can play that way against Stanford, I would be shocked. I think Stanford's going to destroy them and annihilate them. But if they can play the way they played against Michigan State, they have a chance. Andrew, finish the rest of the show. Call in, people, 323-642-1558. We'll be back at 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. Andrew, take it away, buddy. See you, buddy.
All right. Appreciate you calling in, Chris. Yeah, speaking of college football, something we definitely want to do, and, of course, me and Chris will have to discuss it. We'll have to set something up because, you know, the schedule for us can get pretty hectic, you know, with how many games there is every night in basketball. We always got to make room because we do both love football. We love most sports. Something we really want to do is a show where we go over and predict every single college football bowl game, something me and my family do every year. You get a list of all the games you have to pick against the spread, and then you get confidence points. This year it'll be 1-42 or 43 or whatever it is. And the winner at the end normally ends up with like $700, $200 because we have so many people in it. It's been a family tradition since before I was born. So, you know, that's a show I would love to do. One, it'll help me out, you know, in my pool. But picking against the spread always makes it almost impossible. Normally people who guess end up winning it. But, yeah, that's something we'll definitely want to do. Other things we're discussing today, we want to discuss the LeBron James shoe deal. I don't believe the exact figures come out for how much it is, but we do know, from what I read, it completely demolishes Kevin Durant's $300 million. Now, this is a lifelong contract. I don't know if that means they're going to pay him $50 million a year until the day he dies. I don't know what lifelong contract entails, what the clauses are. It's something I'm going to be really interested to read the details of, you know, the fine print. But that is something I definitely want to discuss. If it's blown out the $300 million deal, I mean, if it's lifelong, you got to think somewhere around $1 billion, don't you? I mean, you really have to think about it. This guy could make $1 million or $1 billion from Nike. If it's a lifelong deal, this is the best basketball player in the world, probably as of right now, the second most iconic basketball player to ever play behind Michael Jordan. And they just signed him to a lifelong contract. What could the numbers be on this? If you have any information, definitely call in. I want to know what the numbers could be. Another thing I want to talk about. Last time I was on here, what we did a lot, we talked a lot about Star Wars Battlefront coming out. I bought another new game. Me and my buddies have been playing it. Chris has got to get it. I got to talk him into getting it. Three, one of the funnest games I've ever played. You get this grappling hook, this wingsuit, this parachute, just nonstop action, what to do. But if you want to call in, talk about that, we'll definitely talk about that. Let's get back to the recap. I'm only going to go into detail on two games Sunday. Let me read off the rest. The Grizzlies beat the Suns 95-93 in a really good game. The Mavericks won 116-104 over the Wizards, who are now 8-10. And the Thunder won 98-95 over the Kings. It's kind of disappointing seeing that the Thunder are only winning by this much and almost giving up leads in the fourth quarter against a team like the Kings, especially when DeMarcus Cousins has an off night. But it is the NBA. That stuff is going to happen. Two things I want to get into. First, of course, my Pistons took on the Lakers. And I think this game really showed how bad things have gotten to the Lakers. Pistons started the game on a 15-0 run. At one point, we're up 35 points. Kobe shot 2-for-15. He's now shooting 29% on the season. This has gotten bad. Julius Randle only played 24 minutes. D'Angelo Russell only played 22. The Lakers turned it over 15 times. It was just an ugly game. Well, the Pistons absolutely dominated, got a three-game win streak. It was good to see for me, but for Lakers fans, I don't think they realize how far away they are. Jordan Clarkson, really good player. He's not a franchise player. D'Angelo Russell, so far, doesn't look like a franchise player. Julius Randle, very good. I don't know if he'll ever be great. I think he'll be that kind of Verge all-star guy at best. But the game I really want to get into is the Warriors versus the Nets. Again, I'm not going to go crazy into detail. It wasn't that great of a game until maybe about halfway through the third quarter. The Warriors have this weird thing that whenever Twitter starts talking about it being a close game, by the time you flip to that channel on League Pass, they're up 10. It's insane. And all it takes is a couple of screens, a couple of Steph threes, a couple of Clay threes, a Draymond lob. And they'll do it in a minute. They'll score 10 points in a minute and not let you score once. It's really just something to see. Now, what people don't realize, this Warrior success doesn't come off just great three-point shooting. The great three-point shooting stems from off-ball screens, moving without the balls. Something that, all these great three-point shooters you've seen throughout history have all been great at, but they do it completely as a team. Any NBA game you watch nowadays, you can see guys just standing there, iso ball. My favorite player in the world is one of the most guilty at it, LeBron. Of course, he can do it because he's that great. But so many of these teams can't, and they're still getting just trouble. And it's really frustrating to see, especially when you see this Warriors team who all these guys, it's like an island of misfit toys if you went back to the beginning of their careers where Steph, nobody really knew. Clay, nobody was crazy high on. Draymond Green was a second rounder. Andrew Bogut, of course, is the number one overall pick, but when he came to the Warriors, he was nothing great. Festus Ezeliya, second round pick. Harrison Barnes, a lottery pick, but he really became a lot better than people thought he was going to be. Coming out of high school, he was pinned as the next great one. But coming out of college, he was pinned as, a role player, a very good role player. He's become a little bit better than that. But, this team works together, and they improve. They improve everybody just by the way they play. Now, the number one effect is somebody like Steph Curry. He gets a double off-ball screen, flips open, and all three of those players in that area are going to be going straight towards him. That opens up somebody else. That opens up somebody else, and they love to move the ball. Their goal is 30 assists every single night. They're averaging something like 29. It's just this might be one of the better teams in NBA history. Let's go into what's going on right now. My Pistons right now, PJ Harrison just sunk free throw, so they are now down 17-12. Mark Morris fouled him on an A1. Excuse me, I do kind of have the hiccups here. I'm trying to get rid of them while I'm talking. And the Spurs are up 19-13. You know, the Pistons versus Hornets, this is both teams are on third game in 4 nights, so no schedule excuses that I always use for my Pistons. Normally they're warranted. You know, they came out strong. The Hornets have looked a little bit better so far. And the 76ers, you know, they're not getting blown out yet. Halfway through, they're only down 6. Covington has 7 points. Tony Parker has 8. But back on the LeBron subject, and I really want you guys to call in and talk about this. I really want to know what everybody else's opinion is on it, because it's something that how much money could this guy really make? If you think about it, a lifetime contract. Does a lifetime contract mean, you know, until he retires? Does it mean until he dies? Does it mean until he turns 50? Does it mean until, you know, they just kind of get sick of him? And does, you know, if it's until he turns, let's say, 60 years old, does it get less and less after he retires, or does it stay the same? Is this guy going to be making is this guy going to get a $1 billion contract? I mean, I might sound dumb. The more I think about it, the more it makes sense until he retires. But even then, I think they would have just signed him to a 10-year deal. You know, if this is something where lifetime literally means lifetime, I'd be shocked if it's anything less than $1 billion. One thing I learned in my argument with these LeBron haters is that this guy, one time when he was very young, said he wants to be a billionaire athlete. At that time, he would have been the first one ever, obviously Michael Jordan. But now he wants to reach that as well. People kill him for it because the guy likes money. So that doesn't make much sense to me because I'm pretty sure everybody likes money. I'm a greedy bleep when it comes to money. I will do just about anything for money. But you really wonder what does this entail? Because it can't just be, all right, you get a shoe, one comes out a year. I mean, this has got to entail like a whole giant clothing line. I know he's already got some clothing, but this has got to entail, you know, more than just a few shirts here and there. This has got to entail a ton of ads, everything. He's going to have to be putting in work for Nike. Now, let's get into the Just Cause 3 talk. I love talking about video games. You guys know I'm a gamer. Now, this game, I've been playing it with my buddy mostly. We've basically gone on who I work with also, we basically went on a rampage today at work trying to get everybody to buy the game. That's how much we love it. We sound like those weird kids in high school that like would make references to their favorite video game, like Thunderbolt, like pretending to throw Thunderbolts at each other. What happens, I'm laughing at myself here, but what happens is you get this grappling, right? And you can do the craziest thing. Let's say somebody's pissing you off. Somebody runs you over with their car. You can hook them up with a grappling hook and then hook them up to a different car, and there they go with that other car. Well, last night I broke into this military base. The goal of the game is to take out this dictator. I broke into this military base, and what happened was, they all started attacking me, but you got to do certain things like take out these fuel tanks, take out captains, take out these guys, take out antennas, take out satellites. I took over this military base that was held by the dictator, and now I got these sweet jets to fly around in. So what I want, again, the number is 323-642-1558. We're going to go to a break here in a minute. But what I want you guys to call in, whether it's about Just Cause, whether it's about a Nike LeBron lifetime shoe deal, whether it's about the recap of this weekend, Jerry Colangelo with the Sixers, you know, what's going on in the NBA world right now, or anything. You know, call in, talk about anything. I don't care what it is. Come talk, 323-642-1558. So right now we're going to go to a little break. You know, when I come back, I'm expecting somebody on the line, but all right, we will be back in just a minute here.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there, fam. You've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is. So what you want me to do?
I'm expressing with my full capability, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Because some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor. My behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on
Rockefeller, makes it a cappella. I still express, yo, I don't smoke weed or sex. Cause it's known to give a brother brain damage. And brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the